Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Are you ready for the experience?
Nine. He goes off crazier than usual.
No, seriously, like, I hope we all don't get fired for this.
Blah, 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 blah.
He used to hand out t-shirts, and now somebody's letting him talk on the radio?
Crowd is here, about to blow. Waiting for me to stop the show.
It's the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Break it down.
So, Atlanta, what do y'all want to talk about? Sports Radio 99 The Game, welcome into the experience. Something just came a-crashing. I'm glad my foot wasn't on the floor.
I was going to say, you all right back
there? Did you hear that?
I did.
Wow. Did y'all hear that in radio land out there? A piece of the cabinet that holds our computers in here just came crashing to the floor, and had my foot been on the ground, it may have crushed it. Anyways, let me start that again. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome into the experience. Bo Johnson at you here for the next 2 hours and 54-ish minutes. And if you got the Cody Rhodes reference at about 35 seconds ago before the studio started falling apart, congratulations. And we will get into what was a very good Royal Rumble last night. Not immediately. Cody Rhodes had a very good match in that one as well. Came out victorious. We're going to talk about that stuff a little bit later. But, wow, these Hawks. So, 8 straight now, right? Really quick, special shout-out to McCray's over in Smyrna, who hosted the Atlanta Hawks watch party yesterday. The entire midday show was in attendance. Andy was the official. He's the only one that got paid for it. But Randy and Abe and myself were there. Great little spot is McCray's over in Smyrna, and I'm sure that we will be back there. But yeah, 8 straight losses for the Atlanta Hawks, and that wasn't even the biggest thing that happened last night. Before I get ahead of myself, 404-726-0929, that is the phone number. If you want to call us, go ahead, call us. We'll take some phone calls. That is the number to the text line as well. You can hit us up there if you want. Dom Taroski on the other side of the glass. Dom, what's going on, man? How was your weekend?
It was pretty good, man. Like I said, it was just, you know, kind of plain chill, having a nice, calm night, and then the news dropped on us.
Somehow they must have made this trade on the West Coast, I'm assuming, because as late as like 11:30 midnight last night, nothing had happened.
Yeah.
But it had happened by the time you wake up this morning. So what kind of overnight nonsense is all this stuff? They must have met in secretly. They were the only two teams to talk to each other.
The more details we hear about it, the more weird it gets. Like, this was the only team that you approached. you basically took, I'm assuming, what was probably like the first offer that they gave you. Like, I can't imagine that you spent too much time hashing this out if you didn't shop it to anyone else. Who all knew about what was going on? Like, the amount of secrecy, because I remember, you know, hearing you and Abe talk about it in the crosstalk there, where you were talking about how, you know, things done in secrecy. I feel like the reason why they probably didn't shop it is because they knew if word got out that they were shopping Luka, the backlash was going to be horrendous. And I think it was a situation. Hey, look, we want to go ahead and do it. We're going to get the backlash anyway. We don't need to make it known that we're going to shop. Like, let's just do it and then receive the backlash anyway. We don't need to shop him, get the backlash, then trade him, get the backlash more. Just rip it off like a Band-Aid.
So, of course, what we're talking about, and look, just to set the show up just a little bit, we will just Herbie doing a little bit of crosstalk with that. We're going to talk about the Pro Bowl a little bit. We're going to talk about the Royal Rumble a little bit. Why are people so mad at Alex Anthopoulos? We're going to get into that. So about a year ago-ish, it was in the spring or whatever, Dom and I were working together, and I forgot what list we were doing. It had something to do with nerdy superheroes or something like that. We did a top five of my favorite movies of all time or superheroes of all time. We had the idea of doing a list that was the top five female superheroes of all time, and then Dom and I didn't work together the entire rest of the year.
I can give you the exact date because I have it in my folder here. The last time we worked together was May 5th of last year.
So it was almost a few months shy of that. That's crazy. So we're gonna get into that. We're gonna tell you now. We're each gonna bring our own five to the table. I've got my five favorite. Now this is my list. My five favorite female superheroes of all time. Dom's got his. We're gonna bring you that. That's a little bit later. And we're going to have some fun, so feel free to chime in or join along if you want. But yeah, in the wee hours of the early morning last night, the Los Angeles Lakers and the Dallas Mavericks pull off a trade where the Lakers are going to send Anthony Davis in a first-round draft pick to the Dallas Mavericks for Luka Doncic. All right, so I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier when I was talking to Abe that from the Mavericks' point of view, maybe they are simply just tired of Luka showing up not in shape. Now, look, 260 Luka, out of shape Luka is one of the best players in the world. Call it top five. You could call it top three, whatever you want
to
say.
Got you to a finals.
Yeah, he got you to a finals last year that you got kind of beat up in, lost the Celtics 4-1. Maybe the Mavericks were thinking, well, had we had somebody to play a little bit better defense last year, maybe we win that finals. And now you look at the Mavericks this season, they're in ninth place. Luka currently hurt, has not played a game since December. All right, that's over a month. I think it was Christmas Day, maybe. With this calf injury, the Mavericks are under the impression, or maybe they know, or maybe that's what the experts are telling them, is that this guy can't stay in shape and won't stay in shape. Because staying in shape or not staying in shape are completely optional to professional athletes. All right. Maybe the Mavericks are just tired of dealing with 260 Luka, which 260 was only a rumored weight. But he kind of looks 260. And look, he's been a great NBA player. He's been one of the best players in the world while being out of shape. Maybe the Mavericks are just tired of dealing with that. That is a possibility. This trade is also a little strange from the Lakers' perspective, whereas they get one of the best top five or whatever players in the world, but he's kind of the same as LeBron James. Now, does LeBron James now play another season? They definitely brought in Luka, who's only like 26, right? 25, 26, to be the future of the Los Angeles Lakers, and he may very well already be a better player than LeBron James. But now they have no center, which AD did want to go back to the four. The Mavericks have two centers. He's going to get to do that. Maybe he had some input on the who knows. But the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken, are in fourth place. Are they going to stay there and be able to make a run now that you have traded away one of the best defensive players in the NBA? Now, look, AD, Anthony Davis, has had his own issues with staying on the court because of injury. He's currently out right now. Now, AD is supposed to play, if I'm not mistaken, next week. I think the Lakers are now anticipating that they will get Luka back right around, you know, All-Star, I don't know, it's not a break really, but the All-Star game, which is like February 15th, 16th, next weekend, 2 weekends from now, something like that. I forget what the day is sometimes. So 2 weeks, you know, and like I told Abe, I'm not sitting here trying to play devil's advocate, but there has to be a reason. I think Eric Slaughter, I was listening to them on the way in, Eric Slaughter had a great point too. We may just wake up tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, and somebody will have gone onto a podcast or talked to someone in the media and spilled some sort of beans as to why the Mavericks were willing to take a first-round draft pick and Anthony Davis. Look, Anthony Davis is a great NBA basketball player. The Lakers had two first-round draft picks, so why didn't you go after that second pick? I think they probably could have gotten it. So, still super strange as we absorb this. We're just kind of waiting on more information to come out here, you know, but I'm assuming that it will. I don't think we've heard the last of the backlash or the follow-up to this trade. There has to be reasons because for whatever reason, the Mavericks feel they didn't get fleeced. And even the experts are saying neither side really got fleeced in this trade. But what if Luka doesn't come back by the All-Star break? What if he's out for another month? What if he comes into shoot-arounds on his first day where he's supposed to be back and re-injures the calf or has another injury crop up? You know, if the Mavericks are sick of dealing with that because he can't stay in shape, that's why the calf problems are there. It's not very good for an NBA or any basketball player to have issues with your feet or legs, right? Like, that's where all the money's made. You got to get up and down the court. Now, he doesn't go down the court very often, does Luka? He's not the best defensive player in the year. I mean, in the league. Not even a great defensive player, but he is one of the best shot scorers. He's the reigning point scorer in the NBA. But that did nothing for him last year, and now they're in ninth place. So I can kind of see why the Mavericks are willing to move on. And, oh, wait. Oh, yeah. Guess what Luka was up for at the end of this season? He was going to qualify for a Supermax contract of 5 years, $345 million. I have no idea what that comes out to per year, but it's a lot. What is that? 75?
I would say, yeah, it's going to be a little over 70.
$70 million yeah. a year. Now, if you already have issues with this guy, the trade deadline, mind you, is next week. It's like February 6th. So the time was coming. Maybe the Lakers contact the Mavs, Mavs contact the Lakers. Look. We want to get this guy on our team. We believe that we can find some vegan over here in California that can feed him avocado for the rest of his life, get him in shape, put him on the Tom Brady diet. We have no idea what they are thinking, why they think they can be the ones that can get whip Luka into shape. All right? But maybe they do. They had to have made the trade for a reason, but they did get like the European version of LeBron James. So now they have two guys that play the same position that are almost identical on the court. And look, while they will be able to score hella points, who's going to play defense? This is kind of, to me, it's a strange trade for the Lakers being in fourth place to get a guy that's going to be your future, but give away so much defense in Anthony Davis. Because as we can see, maybe if the Mavericks had AD last year, maybe they don't make it to the finals. Maybe they do and they win. Who knows? Not a fortune teller. Not trying to look at this thing in retrospect, but the Mavericks were and are. They did it for a reason. It's not like they're like, oh, ho-hum, having some drinks out in L.A. I think I'll just trade one of the best players in the world for a first-round draft pick. You know, so we can get into that more if y'all so choose. Give us a shout, 404-726-0929. Something that has been coming up this entire week, or at least until or since All-Star selections were made, was the Trae Young being snubbed to the 2025 All-Star team by the coaches who select the reserves. Now, there have been several different opinions. There have been several opinions on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Monday through Friday. You can find it right here, 11 to 2. They don't like the word snubbed. They don't think that Trae was snubbed. So I don't think that the Hawks not being in first place or being on this losing streak, hell, they were a couple of games above 500 just a week ago. Well, actually, they're on an 8-game losing streak. So they were a couple of games above 500 2 weeks ago. You know, I don't think that losing or being on a losing team or being on a team in the middle of a losing streak is quite – I don't think that warrants not selecting Trae Young to the All-Star team. That's what they both Andy or Randy, my brothers tend to think. I don't think that we're not voting for, you're not selecting the most valuable player. You're selecting a spot on the All-Star team, which should just be 15 players anyway, but it's not, whatever. You're selecting a place on the All-Star team, which only 12 guys get. And Trey said, or 13, Trey said it best himself. Is he one of the best 24 players in the league? I think that he probably is. He leads the NBA in assists. All right, Domantas Sabonis, look, I get it, leads the NBA in rebounds per game. He didn't make the All-Star team either by the coaches. We'll get into this in the next segment. You have to give me about 5 minutes. But I think I have a reason. I think we're kind of overthinking the reason. We all know Trey embraces the villain. Well, I'm going to tell you what I think the reason why Trey didn't make the All-Star team was in the next segment. We're also going to talk a little bit about the Pro Bowl. And then at 6:40, why are so many people mad at AA? It's nuts. It's the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Hopefully you're listening on the Odyssey app as well. We'll be back in 5 minutes.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
What I got, you got to give it to your mama. What I got, you got to give it to your papa. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Welcome back to the experience. Where was I? Oh, so 404-726-0929. There was something specific that I was going to do when we came back, and it was address a comment from the text line. 404-726-0929. That is the phone number. You can call us up. We'll take some calls on whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk about this trade, fine. If you want to talk about the Pro Bowl, that's fine, too. Look, I watched the Pro Bowl. I missed some of what was going on today from being in my car and whatnot. I watched all of Thursday. Look, I didn't absolutely hate it. Now, is this the future moving forward? Probably not. Are the ratings going to be great? Again, probably not. Had there been something better on Thursday, I probably would have watched that. Like, if I had to pick between the TGL, which I also very much love, and the Pro Bowl games, it was probably going to be the TGL, but also have multiple TVs, and I would have had both of them on. So let's go out to the phone line real quick before I get to that text message I wanted to address. Big DJ from Tequila, what's going on, man?
What's up, Bo? Baby, I'm ready for softball season. How about yourself?
I am 100% ready for softball season. We had evaluations. Let's see. Yesterday, we have another set of evaluations next weekend, and then it's on, man. Yeah, I'm ready, too.
I know, that's right. Just wanted to comment a time or two on the Luka Doncic trade, man. You know, sure. I obviously, when we drafted him in 18 and then traded him away, I was devastated.
As was
I
mean, a lot of people.
I'm telling you what, man. We had a proven pro that did it at the highest level outside the NBA, had been doing it for, you know, a couple of years. So, but like you said, man, there's something in Dallas that they know that we don't, and something's going to come out. But the kid is still 25. He's a kid. There's some seniors in college that are 25 years old right now. You know what I mean? I hope for Luka's sake, he's a generational talent. I mean, there's no question about that. I hope that for his sake, he matures a little bit and that we're about to see the best of Luka Doncic in L.A. That's all I can hope for.
Hey, appreciate the call. Yeah, man, look, softball is right around the corner. Look, I was talking with a friend of mine, Double J, DJ Raytone, Jermaine Johnson out there, about this trade. He's a huge Lakers fan. I asked him immediately as soon as I found out. One of his biggest points to me about Luka, when Luka gets to L.A., it's time to have a serious look in the mirror. All right? For one, you got to look at, you know, probably some of them rolls hanging over the side. Now Luka's not rolled up, you know, but he's overweight. And he's especially – if Luka 260 really weighs 260, bro, you got to get – You are a generational talent. You're already one of the top five players in the world. You can be so much better than that if you learn how to play a little bit of defense, or if you don't lose your stamina running up and down the court. Maybe that's what it is. But look, Luka has a bad time, has a hard time staying in shape. There has to be something that the Mavericks know or that they is not out yet as to why they still only even took one first-round pick when the Lakers had two. And speaking of that, the trade deadline is still like 4 days away. The Lakers may not be done because they still are a big man less than they were a week ago. And it was AD himself that just only a week ago said, yeah, we need to bring in another big man to the Lakers. Well, now AD's gone. Wow. I think the Hawks have one they may be willing to trade. They're not going to get a first-round draft pick for old Clint. But, you know, hey, they don't necessarily need first-round draft pick talent. They just need somebody that can pull down boards and play defense. We got a guy that can do that. I don't know. Don't be surprised if something like that happens coming up in the next week or so. I think this trade deadline is going to be very interesting as far as the Lakers are concerned. I don't think the Lakers can make a playoff run as currently constructed. I think they need to bring back. They had AD playing the five. He wanted to play the four. Maybe he was vocal about that. Maybe that's why they moved him. Now he's going to get to, because now he's on a team with two centers. But you had a power forward playing center. Now you don't have any centers. And now you don't have a power forward that can play center. So at least you got two LeBrons. You got LeBron and European LeBron. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting week. From the text line, from Rusty, what's up, Bo or Dom? You think LeBron really had no idea that this trade was going to happen? Or was it LeBron that actually made the trade? I do think, Rusty, that he did not have a true. To say that he's the one, or to say that he did not have a clue in this. Reports are that LeBron was out eating dinner with his family. They're in New York still. They just played the Knicks. Reports are LeBron had no clue. I don't know if he was dumbfounded or not. Took him by surprise. Do you believe that, Dom?
So what I will say is, and Abe just had Sean Devaney on, and what Sean said was that he just kind of made a connection that AD has a trade kicker, not necessarily a no-trade clause, but he has a trade kicker in his contract. So AD would have had to have signed off on this trade. If AD signed off on the trade, just assuming Rich Paul would have had to know because that's his agent.
Yeah.
If Rich Paul knows, I can't imagine LeBron doesn't. So I don't know. I think it's plausible at first glance to think that LeBron had no idea. But given the way Sean kind of put it, I can also see a world where LeBron, at the very least, was informed about it. Now, I don't know if maybe they just like, hey, are you okay with this? I think it could have been a situation where they approached him and said, hey, look, this is what we have on the table. Yeah. We're going to take it. And I think it could have been kind of that way. But do I think LeBron like signed off on it as in like, this is what I want to do? I don't necessarily think that.
Yeah,
but
probably
I think
not.
He was aware.
I think he was probably the first person called.
Absolutely.
Now
absolutely.
Rumor has it he found out from Shams, just like everybody else found out from Shams, who, you know, outstanding work on the Twitter machine by Shams, even by going in and stating, yes, this is real, I have not been hacked. That's hilarious.
How about Shams? In your first year as, like, the big dog with Woj gone now, you get this kind of bomb? Good for Shams.
Yeah,
good
man.
For him.
Heck yeah. So I do think, back to Rusty's text, that's a little bit of conspiracy theory to say that LeBron would have made the trade. Now, is he happy with it? We don't know. Now, was he the first to find out? Probably so. But speaking of conspiracy theories, Trae Young not being voted on to the All-Star game. As if you don't know how the All-Star voting works, there's for the starters, there is a fan vote and a player vote and a media vote, and I think it's 50-25-25, if I'm not mistaken. Trae came in fifth in the fan vote, sixth in the media vote, fourth in the player vote, fifth in the fan vote, sixth in the media votes. People wanted him on the All-Star team that weren't NBA coaches. Now, while I'm not going to buy into the coaches hate Trae aspect of this deal, we do know that Trae has accepted his role as the villain. He plays into his role as the villain. And that might rub coaches the wrong way. All right, let us not forget, NBA coaches are human beings. Can or can human beings not be some of the most petty individuals in the world? They look, human beings are probably the only individuals in the world, in all of mammals or animals, that are petty. You know, I know that, you know, look, can the coyote go and steal his partner's dinner and because he wasn't even sure? You can be petty if you're an animal. But human beings are petty. All right? It wouldn't take much for a lot of NBA coaches to be like, you know what? Screw that guy. Bowing on the middle of my home court, telling my fans to kick rocks and get out of the building. Oh, wait, let us not forget that Trey and Nate, when Nate was here, kind of had their little rubbings of the wrong way. I don't think that coaches hate Trey, but I do think that they knew what they were doing. I don't think there's somebody better that they were putting. I don't think it was up to between Trey and somebody else saying, hey, this person deserves it more. Trey sure as hell deserves it. But if it's left up to me and the fans didn't vote you in, then I'm not voting you in either. You know why? Because you're a prick. That's what they may be saying to him. And human beings, being the petty individuals that we all are at times, that's probably what got him.
That this exact scenario is the reason why Terrell Owens wasn't a first ballot Hall of Famer. Was this exact scenario? It was because people were like, oh, well, he wasn't a good guy in the locker room or he wasn't a good teammate, so they kept him out first ballot, even though we all know Terrell Owens absolutely is a first ballot.
We're sitting here dumbfounded by the fact that it's possible that coaches didn't vote Trey in because that's part of the villain role. We can't be that dumbfounded by the fact that there are coaches that didn't vote him in just to be petty when some petty individual didn't vote for Ichiro Suzuki to go into the NBA, the MLB Hall of Fame. Human beings are petty. Yo, in Atlanta, what's going on, man?
What's happening, young man? I am not going to be petty. What I am going to be is realistic.
All right, what you got?
I'm 51 years old, and I grew up in Los Angeles. I sat there, and I watched the dynasty of the Showtime Lakers. I then watched them retool that team and grab Shaq out of Orlando and then trade with the Charlotte Hornets to get a young man named Kobe Bryant. I've watched them rebuild this team over and over again because they want greatness. And now I'm watching this trade, and I'm like, okay, that makes sense, obviously, from the Lakers' point of view, but it also made sense from the Mavericks' point of view. They just saved themselves a $40 million hit because Luka is up for that Supermax, which would have been about $80 million come next year.
That's nuts.
Right? And I'm sitting here looking at the Hawks, and I'm thinking to myself, are we going to be better off giving Trae Young that Supermax? If we suck right now paying him $45 million, what are we going to be when we're paying him $80 million? Yeah. And so what I'm thinking in my head is that we have about 3, maybe 4 more days of Trey still here in Atlanta, and the Mavericks just showed you it's not worth paying somebody $80 million when they only play 82 games, whether they're fat or not. Love you, bro.
Yeah, man, appreciate the phone call. Now, see, that's a big one. So – if I'm not mistaken, was Yo just saying that he thinks Trae Young may be on his way out the door this week? Now, that's spicy. That's a spicy take right there. Jim over in Conyers. What's going on, Jim? We got about 2 minutes.
Oh, yesterday we were watching the college game.
Senior Bowl?
Senior Bowl. And there was one Gwinnett County, the assistant coach on the high school level, and there were about 3 or 4 of us talking about them players. And – everybody talking about what the Falcons need to take, and people talking about defensive line, defensive end. Okay, we may need to get to the quarterback some, but what is more important than to getting to somebody's quarterback more than protecting our quarterback,
yours,
as I told them? Need a new right tackle instead of Caleb McGarry. You can't afford to put the running back on his side all the time or a tight end to block and help him over on that side, or the other team knows just about which way the play is going to go.
Yeah, I
and
agree,
everybody
man.
Looked at me, and then several people were like, I never thought of that. I've not heard any of the pundits say anything about that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm curious and appreciate the call, Jim. And look, we're going to get into it. We got Experience the NFL coming up at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Then we're going to talk a little fantasy football, too. If some of this stuff bleeds into other conversations or topics, that's fine. But the biggest thing that the Falcons absolutely cannot do as far as the draft, if they want to go, and I haven't looked at the anybody's latest mock, I don't know that there's going to be a tackle there that would warrant the Falcons drafting him more than there will be defensive players. There is going to be a defensive player there with where the Falcons pick that could change this franchise next season and their ability to get to the quarterback for a long number of years. They just got to hit it. You know, so we're going to get to that at the top of the next hour and in the next hour. We're going to talk a lot more NFL. Up next, though, we're going to talk a little bit of baseball. Why are people so mad at Alex Anthopoulos? I got your back, Alex. Look, man, the Braves haven't made a lot of moves right now because they don't need to. I'm going to tell you why on the other side of this break. Give me about 5-6 minutes. It's the Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Sports Radio 99 The Game. Looks to kill. Is that what this is? Crew? Man, taking us back. Welcome back to the Experience, 404-726-0929. That is the number. If you want to shoot us a text, you can on the text line. If you want to give us a call, you can do that too. My boy Dom is on the other side of the glass. He will field your phone calls, and if he thinks you're important enough, he'll patch you through to me. But you are important enough. If you're smart enough to call this radio program, then you're smart enough. From the text line, in regards to female superheroes, which we are going to do in about 1 hour, 7:40, top five female superheroes of all time. You may very well get your top 10. And if you do, that'll mean that Dom and I have completely different tastes because we're each going to give you our top five. Daisy Duke from Rusty. Daisy Duke is not a female superhero, but she's somehow got to be on your honorable mention list later on your show. That's a great one, Rusty. Now, I don't know the Daisy Duke, and I grew up, the Dukes of Hazzard was on when I was a kid. Bo Duke is actually my namesake. That's where I got the name Bo from. Because he was the one that hung out of the General Lee with a bow and arrow. And
yeah.
He would light it on fire, and he'd shoot a barn, and the barn would blow up. I'm like, whoa, I want to do that. And then you take into effect that my real name, Clifton, wasn't exactly a popular name inside my head. I completely up and changed my name when I was like 4 years old. I'm like, I want to be called Bo. So it stuck. Changed the name of, changed the spelling of it when I was in high school. But there you go. Now, I don't remember Daisy Duke ever saving the day, though. I don't know if I can call her a superhero. Although I do have an unconventional female superhero on my list. That's not going to be one that you would think of in the conversation of female superhero unless, you know, somebody brings it to you. So that's what I'm going to do there. It's crazy. Let's see. This is from it's Crazy Bone Dom. 5-year anniversary of Kobe, and I still don't feel real. It doesn't feel real.
Ever.
I remember watching Kobe's last game, dude.
Oh, my goodness.
Very vividly.
Oh, my goodness.
Wasn't that 60?
Yeah. That was not, I remember it was funny because I was almost in tears that game because I remember.
Is it?
I was someone who hated the Lakers and hated Kobe my entire life because I was like, oh my God, everyone loves the Lakers. Everyone loves Kobe.
Yeah.
I'm tired of hearing it. And so like hating on him his entire career and then getting to the last game and being like, wow, this is like the last time I'm going to watch him play. Like I got emotional. Like that commercial about like where he like has everyone singing and is like, I've been hating you. Like it was, it's the perfect commercial for him.
Kobe accepted being a villain.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Loved it. Played into it. Fueled him. You know, and that's the reason he won a bunch, 5 championships. That's the reason why people. That's why I don't get this current Pat Mahomes hate. Like people are hating on the Chiefs. I don't know about Pat Mahomes. The Chiefs are a bunch of likable dudes.
I was gonna say they've got to be the most likable dynasty ever.
Yeah,
like,
but there are still people that like Chiefs fatigue. What does that even mean?
Because the one thing that I do, and I've mentioned this before, is that there, I think there is a bit of overexposure, especially because their dynasty is fueled fully in the digital and social media era.
Yeah.
So it's
yeah.
an idea like you can't really ever get away from them.
And I guess, is that the first real dynasty that we are seeing in this modern day of
yeah I think so with social
media
with especially with it being as popular as it is now and how like literally like I got the news that Luka was traded on Twitter
100%
so
you're probably woken up
exactly
by vibrations on your phone
right so I think that plays a part into it as well just the overexposure
kind of crazy but you know look you're watching greatness as far as the Chiefs go you're watching greatness so enjoy it What I would love to see Lamar, and this is on here somewhere, what I love to see Lamar and Josh Allen get championships, especially Lamar. I mean, he may be my favorite NFL football player currently, mm-hmm. Lamar. Mm-hmm. I have him on several dynasty fantasy teams. Love watching him play. Thought he was going to be special coming out. I don't know why he went like 30th overall out of Louisville. I guess maybe because people thought that's all he could do is run. But, I mean, you watched Mike Vick sit there and run to a pretty good career before, you know, all the trouble and whatnot.
You think people would learn, but I guess not.
So, anyways, why are people so mad at Alex Anthopoulos? All right, so we are only about, if I'm not mistaken, 12 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in Florida. I've seen on social media people asking for Alex Anthopoulos' job. Now, look, I go onto Twitter. I don't stay on Twitter. I'll go take a browse. I'll dive down some wormholes. I don't sit there all day on Twitter because most of what you see on Twitter is people like this that are sitting there with this ludicrousy of these ideas that the Braves general manager who took us to a World Series and won it in 2021, 4 years ago, barely 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, we just got into 2025. All right? It's lunacy to me to think that Alex Anthopoulos, like, as far as I'm concerned, Alex Anthopoulos can have his job as long as he wants it. He's already brought us a championship. He's put together one of the best young rosters in Major League Baseball. 2024 kind of sucked because, like I said earlier, 1 through 9, everybody got hurt at some point or another. I think maybe Marcelo Zuna's, did he miss time because all he does is hit? He may not have gotten hurt last season, but everybody else did, and people need to understand that fact. We still have a fantastic roster, but he didn't sign Max Fried. All right. 8 years, $218 million. I don't know what that's like, $27 million a year, if I'm not mistaken. Max Fried, one, sorry, Max, if you're out there listening, because I know that Max Fried is a big fan of the Bo Johnson Experience. Max Fried, sorry, is not worth an 8-year contract at this point in his career. And you're going to see how this plays out in the next few years as the Yankees and Dodgers seem to be the only teams that know how to print money, and that's fine because we've seen the Yankees, the last time they won the World Series was like 2009. They've had one of the top three payrolls in Major League Baseball since then. Has it worked for them? No. Has it worked for the Dodgers yet? Well, it did last year. And now they go and add Roki. And they added, they're just buying World Series left and right. They may win. They're not going to win another one this year because we're going to compete for it, damn it. So losing Max Fried was going to happen. Max could have stayed here had he wanted to. He wasn't going to get $27 million a year from us, just like Freddie wasn't going to get that same deal that he got from the Dodgers from us. But he could have gotten plenty of money to stay here, and that's not even necessarily taking a hometown discount. That's just ensuring that your team has money for other players. Now, look, I know there's no salary cap in baseball. And the argument for the Dodgers, what they're doing, is that every team can do this. So that's kind of true, but only to a certain extent. Every team can do this, meaning they are allowed, but the Dodgers are clearly operating without a budget. The Dodgers have deferred like $1 billion. We don't even know, what if the Dodgers go bankrupt in 10 years once they start having to pay off Shohei? They're paying Shohei $2 million a year for the entirety of his contract, which he geniusly orchestrated, by the way, so that he wouldn't have to pay California state taxes. Because whenever they start paying him that money, that deferred money from this 10-year deal that he got from the Dodgers, wherever he's living there then is where he will or will not have to pay state taxes. So if he's not living in California after this contract's up and he's living in, say, I don't know, Texas or Florida where they don't have state taxes, I think, he's not going to have to pay state taxes. I don't know how that works if he moves and changes his residency back to Japan after his, like, I'm not sure, can you extradite taxes? I don't know how that part of it works.
They'll try.
You know? Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, Uncle Sam definitely going to try to get
his. Don't worry.
His.
Listen, you just good luck. You can try to run. We're going to get. We're going to get that tax money though.
So look, Max Free was never going to get that. Don't be mad at AA for that. All right. Then there's AJ Minter. AJ Minter got 2 years, $22 million from New York Mets. To me, this is the New York Mets giving two big thumbs up, not thumbs up, middle fingers up to the Atlanta Braves by signing A.J. Minter. All right? Does everybody remember why A.J. didn't finish last season with the Atlanta Braves? He's one of those guys that got hurt. Only A.J. got hurt almost as bad as Ronnie got hurt. A.J. had a hip impingement. I'm not exactly sure where you get a hip impingement and what was impinged, but he had surgery to correct it. Hip surgery. AJ Minter just had hip surgery in August. They don't even know if he's going to be ready for the regular season. Nobody knows if he's going to be the same pitcher in 2025 as he has been for the Braves the last 5 years or whatever. So, of course, he's going to take $22 million. He was not going to get anything near that from the Braves. Especially in coming off of... Now, had he just reached free agency? Maybe he does. I mean, $11 million a year is not bad for a pretty damn good lefty setup man. Seeing as how there's really... I went looking for left-handed pitchers out there, bullpen guys. There's not a whole lot. And I've got a couple names as to who they could go shopping for, as to who they may be shopping for right now. But the Mets are crossing their fingers that A.J. Minter is ready out of spring training, which he may not be. He may be. He may go on to have a nice little career with them for this 2 years. I hope he – no, I don't. I don't hope that he does. I hope he gets enjoys his money. I hope his career takes a big downward spiral this season with the Mets, and maybe we can trade back for him if he is healthy and he plays. All right? I like the dude. I've met him a couple times. A lot of people like to call him the mayor of the battery. He's always out and about after games, having a beer somewhere. That's fine. So that was never going to happen. So then people want to bring up the rotation. What are we going to do about the rotation? All right. Let us please remember that we have the reigning Cy Young Award winner, Chris Sale, on our roster. Now, the big argument there, Chris Sale's 34. We need Chris Sale to be the – we do not need Chris Sale to be a Cy Young even contender in 2025. As long as Spencer Strider comes back in his health, and he should be back around May. Not going to be on the opening day roster, him or Ronnie. This is going to be the biggest part is April, which we have historically had bad Aprils with both Strider and Acuna in the lineup. So I'm not saying I want us to or that we will, but it's not going to be the end of the world if, you know, when April gets over with and we're, you know, 14-14. All right, so we got Chris Sale, who won the Cy Young last year, but we don't need him to do that this year. We need him to have a winning record. Give me 150 innings this season, Chris Sale. You know, have a nine strikeout. I mean, total. That's fine. Let Strider be the guy that makes a run for the Cy Young this season. Seeing as how he almost did it 2 years. Well, he did do it 2 years ago. I think he finished second. We got that guy still. All right, then we got Ronaldo Lopez behind him and Spencer Schwellenbach. Spencer Schwellenbach last year in the bigs had a very good season. All we need to do is for him to continue that ascent. Ronaldo Lopez is on a very, very friendly three-year, $30 million contract, and he outpitched his ass off last season as for what he was being paid. So right now, we need Ronaldo Lopez to be a third starter making $10 million a year. All right, now what are we going to do? Why haven't we paid, gone out and bought another starter? Now, I see interest in Dylan Cease, who is from here. Holy fudge, I just Googled from the text line, Ohtani's contract. Yeah, $700 million with $690 million of that deferred to 10 years from now. And then they've deferred other money too. I'm telling you, the Dodgers may be in trouble. Now look, it's L.A. There's lots of money in L.A. They've got a very big, you know, ownership group that has tons of money themselves. Are they ever going to go broke? No, they're not. Probably, but they may be in trouble is all I'm saying. That's crazy, though. Yeah, $700 million, and he's not even going to be making but $2 million a year for the entirety of his contract. That's nuts. So they're paying him $20 million for the next 10 years, and they're deferring $680 million that they will start paying him on the very first day after his contract expires in 10 years. The more you think about that, the more nuts it really, really, really is. Now, will he pay that off? He might. If he pitches, if he comes back and pitches remotely close to what he was, but now, after the Sasaki signing, Shohei may be the fourth best pitcher on their freaking roster.
Yeah, you may not even need him to do all of that.
Yeah, you don't need Shohei to be a Cy Young, but we're not talking about the Dodgers. We're talking about the Braves here. All right, so projected rotation. We need Schwelly to continue on the rise. All right, now, here's the biggest question as far as spring training goes. Ian Anderson will be competing for that fourth or fifth spot, however you want to look at it. So will Grant Holmes. So will A.J. Smith-Shawver. So will Hurston Waldrop. I really, personally, I hope A.J. Smith-Shawver, I love what this kid brings to the table. I love what Hurston Waldrop brings to the table, too. These guys are young flamethrowers. I tend to love those guys more than just the finesse pitchers. You know, your fireballers, too, do tend to get into a little more trouble than your finesse guys every now and again. But so be it. So we need to figure out who that fifth starter is going to be. We're going into spring training not knowing who our fifth starter. We went into spring training last year not knowing who our fifth starter was going to be. And the guy that won it, Bryce Elder, who we still have him too, the guy who won it flamed out. And that's who made room for Spencer Schwellenbach. All right, Alex Anthopoulos is not going out there wasting money because he knows what he has in Florida, and we need to trust that. All right, Alex Anthopoulos knows what he has on this roster. He is a superior judge of talent, him and his talent seekers that he has on the roster. Didn't even get to get into the bullpen and our 1-9 that we should be coming out of spring training with, but the Jurickson Profar signing filled a huge hole. That's exactly what we needed, but he didn't overpay for that either. And Jurickson Profar is probably going to start the season hitting out of the two hole. All right, if we have time a little bit later in the show, we'll get back into the Braves a little bit. You got any questions or you want to give us a call about the Braves, feel free. On the other side of this break, we'll go experience the NFL. We'll talk some Falcons. They got their defensive coordinator. Chip Kelly just got a new job. Bears made a hire. Saints still haven't done anything, which I'm sure pleased the Falcons legion of fans. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about all the NFL. Super Bowl II when we come back. It's Bo Johnson Experience on Sports Radio 99 The Game.